so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, and to know Thus says the Lord. It's so sweet.
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, and just to rest upon His promise, and to know Thus in the Lord Jesus.
Lord, we have nobody else to trust. Nobody else like You. So indeed, we need more grace. We ask for more grace to trust You at all times with everything. Father, thank You. And even tonight, I trust You. I trust You to enable me to speak as Your mouthpiece. We trust You that we will hear that which You will have us hear. Thank You, Lord. All of this would be in vain without You helping us. Thank You, because indeed we have Your help. Whether we are here, whether those online, thank You for the grace that enables the Word to open up to us and make a difference. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Actually, somehow, I thought it was School of Miracles. So maybe School of Miracles came early. Hallelujah. But not just so. I don't think I can finish. I want to speak on the anointing. But I also think that, there were a few things coming to mind. Every time you sing the song, Oshubare Re, I wonder if people know what that really means. They don't. But you do. Huh? You do. You know the culture. Cultural thing behind it. Please come. Can you explain it? Now you are beginning to change. Yes, because what does it mean? It's not exactly what is written there. It is, in a sense. The translation we have there, is that what you are thinking of purely? Yes, okay. Uh-huh. And what does that mean?
Dansaki.
Huh?
Dansaki.
Yeah, so where did that come from? Yeah, so that's a Yoruba cultural thing, you know, that you go to the king, and it's not even like this. Uh-huh, you know. When you say, what do you say, Obugo? And you say what? Omogu, Omogu, Omogu. Uh-huh. But you uh-huh, that's the correct way. So you bring it from here, you twist the arm the other way around. Yes. Exactly. So it actually has that you twist it and bring it out as you bow to the king, and the king has to kind of touch it and say, yes, you are accepted. You know, and really, yes, it is that I totally submit to you and honor you. You know, so that we sometimes, you know, it's almost like if you sing in Igbo, I want to know what it means. You know, and sometimes when I don't know what it, I don't sing. I don't sing because I don't know what you have put in there. You know, so I need to understand what you are saying. So when we sing, and worship is critical. It's absolutely critical. If you are going to be, if you have a good relationship with God, your worship must be absolute, must be first class. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll start from Ephesians 1. That's not the plan, but I'll start from Ephesians 1. Because there's no way you talk about the anointing that you are not really talking about the Holy Spirit. And I'll start from Ephesians 1 again. It's part of why, inspired by the prayer session, amen. And that's part of why you need to come early. Amen. Come early to church every time. Hallelujah. In prayer, in it's Sunday, Bible school, you never really know what's coming, you know, and where God wants to bring something out for you. So Ephesians 1, I'll just zone in on verse 13. It's talking about our salvation, generally speaking, at this point. And it says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, I just want to stay with that. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed. Can I hear you say sealed? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So just thinking about it, you know, have you ever bought anything that had a seal? You know, and what does that do? You know, part of what I'm doing right now is also showing you, because this is Bible study, okay? It's also showing you how you look at the scriptures, how you meditate on the scriptures, how you get the most out of the scriptures. Can I have an amen? So when it says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, what kind of thing have you seen before that's been sealed? Or what kind of thing do you get that is sealed? Like what? Foodstuff. Fruits. Okay. The carton of something. Uh-huh. What else would you find sealed? Yes. Have you seen drinks that are sealed? You buy wine. And it's sealed. So they put the cork, they put the cap, but they seal it. What's the seal there for? The seal first is a stamp of ownership, isn't it? So sometimes you even find the seal is branded. So that's why you'll understand that some of the translations we're looking at say that you were stamped with the Holy Spirit of promise. You have believed, you have become his own. So one of the things that happens that shows that you are his own is the Holy Spirit's presence with you. You were stamped with the Holy Spirit. So some translations use stamped with the Holy Spirit instead of sealed with the Holy Spirit. There are many questions people ask. You know, does somebody who doesn't speak in tongues, will he go to heaven? You know, that's one question. Of course, you know, he will go to heaven. If he's born again, he will go to heaven. Then people talk about the fact that if somebody is not baptized with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in other tongues, does he have the Holy Spirit? Of course he has the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Bible says that he has received, he has adopted us and given us his Spirit. Romans chapter 8, isn't it? It said, whereby we do what? We cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father is just a way of speaking in an endearment fashion to your father. You know, so when we speak, and most of the time, most people do not speak to their father and say, Father. Isn't it? You talk about Popsy, hallelujah. You talk about Daddy. So it's like saying we have received that Holy Spirit of promise whereby we say, Daddy. Hallelujah. So when you hear some people pray and they say, Daddy, you know, it's out of revelation. Are you hear what I'm saying? It's not just a style of speaking. It's out of revelation knowledge. Hallelujah. So it says that you were stamped with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed. So that seal sometimes is just to show that this thing really came from XYZ factory, belongs to XYZ factory. This is genuine product. Hallelujah. But it also means what? It's tamper-proof. It's tamper-proof. And they will tell you sometimes, do not consume if the seal is broken. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They are saying, look, if the seal is broken, something is wrong. So they put it there in order to ensure that nobody is going to take out of it. Are you with me, anybody? You know, you have people who will sit in a store and they open bottles of drinks and drink small, small. And put back the cover over the bottle. Are you with me? You know, the guy will just drink small, 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 small. By the time he drinks small, small out of many, he has drank a whole bottle. And the guy is very satisfied. But the problem is that those drinks are no longer safe. So when the manufacturer makes it, what does he do? He seals it. So that if you ever try to drink small, that seal is broken. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we are tamper-proof. You can't mess with us. Are you with me, anybody? And that Holy Spirit being with us is what we're talking about when we start talking about the anointing. So let's start off in Isaiah chapter 10. Also, Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah, the 10th chapter. And we'll look at verse 27. Very popular scripture for those who have been staylights for a while. It says, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. The New King James says the anointing oil. And that's because the Hebrew word used there is the word for grease or oil. Okay? Now, but many translators, just like many of us now, so many translations now, because the translators were a bit confused and they didn't know quite what to say, they just simply talk about the fact that the yoke will be broken because of fatness. And for those who want to be, you want to be fat, or you want to justify your weight, you can say the Bible says that the burden shall be removed and the yoke broken because of my fatness. Hallelujah. So you can use that to justify it. If you are, maybe you've been trying to lose weight, you can't lose weight, and you say the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 10, and verse 27. But the word there is actually the word for grease or oil. And in the King James, largely used for oil, especially from the olive plant. And which signifies the anointing. In context, what God was talking about was about his children. And he was talking about the yoke or the burden of slavery or domination by the Assyrians. And God said at some point, remember also where we're coming from. Everything is linked. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everything is linked. I said that the Holy Spirit or the presence of the Holy Spirit with us means that we are tamper-proof. The main difference for us in the new covenant is that what they enjoyed periodically, we enjoy virtually constantly. Because we have the Holy Ghost with us and in us. Hallelujah. So what God was saying to them in Isaiah chapter 10 was that now that burden of slavery, that burden of domination, and all of the trouble coming from the Assyrians, he said it's going to be removed. And the yoke, which is like what you put on the neck of the animal to control the animal and make it do what you want it to do, he said that yoke will be destroyed. And it's going to happen because of the anointing. Are you there? So whatever it is that you might be faced with, that's why I talked about tamper-proof. So whatever it is that the enemy is trying to bring your way, it says that that Holy Ghost is the one who is able to break all of that off and ward off what the enemy brings against us. Are you still there? I said, are you here? But the question, just like I said, many of the translators get confused. And that's still the question for many people, is that what exactly then is that anointing that the Bible talks about and many Christians talk about? You know, what is the anointing? Go to Luke chapter 4. Luke the 4th chapter. And we will look at verse 18. Now, this, of course, in context, is when Jesus came back, having fasted for days, and he came back from the fasting, and he went into the synagogue, the Bible says, and there he found, okay, or there it was handed to him. Actually, you know, as I was saying that, I was remembering something else that preceded that, and that's verse 16. The Bible says he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was. Can I hear you say, as his custom was? He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So as his custom was, he went to the synagogue. That's what was coming to my mind. You know, and I believe the Holy Ghost wanted to say something to somebody. You know, all the new generation Christians who say church is not necessary. I don't know who you are following. Huh? The Bible says as his custom was. So Jesus' custom, Jesus' habit was that when it was church day, in quote, he went to church. Some of us have become super spiritual, that we don't consider worshiping God with, you know, brethren to be important. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, the Bible says that if you say you are in him, then you should walk as he walked. You should have a lifestyle like Jesus had. And so if your lifestyle is not a lifestyle of going to church, then I don't know who you are following. Are you still there? I said, are you there? You are too quiet. Or is it you I'm talking about? Please look at your neighbor. Look at them very well. If they look funny, then it's them. Hallelujah. And in verse 18, now the Bible says, no, verse 17, it says, and it was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And what was written there, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book. But I'll take it again. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. What does that sound like to you? He's saying, I can tell that the Holy Ghost is upon me because of the anointing. I can tell that the Holy Ghost is on me because I have an anointing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because he has, so I can tell of the presence of the Holy Ghost because he has anointed me to XYZ. So it means first and foremost, the anointing is simply a manifestation of the presence of the Holy Ghost. Or put it another way, it's a tangible manifestation of the presence of the Holy Ghost to do certain things. But let's stop at the fact that it is a manifestation of the presence of the Holy Ghost. So people ask that question all of the time. What is the anointing? It's a manifestation of the presence of the Holy Ghost. We'll talk about the characteristics, the fact that it's tangible, the fact that it is a divine enablement, the fact that it is versatile, the fact that it has diagnostic capabilities, but I'm not probably getting to all of that tonight. Okay, I'll get to all that next time. But it has certain characteristics. It's tangible, it's versatile, it has various manifestations, and it has diagnostic capabilities. I mean, four characteristics that I'll basically be expounding on later. But the key thing tonight is that it's a manifestation of the presence of the Holy Ghost. So when there is an unction, it's just the Holy Ghost manifesting himself in a tangible manner. In fact, the word manifestation, just like you'll find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, when it says the manifestations of the Spirit are given to every man to profit with all. The word manifestation there simply means in the Greek, the making visible. It means that what you are dealing with is invisible, but there are things that make it visible. Are you following what I'm saying? It's almost like you say, look, there is a lot of wind out here this evening. How do I know? Can you see the wind? Can you grab the wind? So how do you know? Because the wind is doing things or manifesting in ways that are visible. You can see things that have been blown up and down and all of that. That is a manifestation of the wind, even though you could not see the wind itself. The anointing is the manifestation of the Holy Ghost, the making visible of the Holy Ghost. And as we read in Luke chapter 4, so the first thing we see is that it's a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. The second thing we see is that it's a manifestation that enables things to be done supernaturally. That enables supernatural things or things to be done that would ordinarily not be able. So Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, one, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You'll have to know the Old Testament to know that kind of thing. When it says the acceptable year of the Lord, is that the year of Jubilee where everything is restored? So he's saying that he has anointed me to bring about all of this supernatural manifestation. So the second thing about the anointing is that the anointing is a divine supernatural enablement. Are you with me? Go to Exodus chapter 33. One of my favorite stories. Exodus 33. Exodus chapter 33. That the Holy Spirit is with us. You know, Jesus called it in John chapter 16. He called that our advantage. Why? Because he said, when they were saying to him, why are you going blind? He said, it is to your advantage that I go. Hallelujah. He said, because if I do not go, the helper will not come. If I do not go, the Holy Spirit will not come. So he said, look, me that you are seeing here, it's better I go so that the Holy Spirit will come. It's to your advantage that I leave. So the Holy Spirit's presence with us is our advantage as believers. Hallelujah. And one of the reasons why that is a strong advantage is because he manifests himself in the anointing, which is a divine enablement. Are you with me? Bearing that in mind, let's look at this in Exodus 33. So here, Moses and God were having a conversation. And, making it short, cutting it short, in verse 14, God said to Moses, says, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. This was them in the wilderness. He said, for how will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate. Also, we shall be distinguished. Hallelujah. Also, we shall be different. So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are on the earth. So Moses was saying, hey, it's that presence that makes the difference. Are you with me? Now, what they can experience once in a while, some of the time, we can experience all of the time. What I wanted to get is how Moses saw it and how Moses treasured it and said, no, if you are not going to go with us in a tangibly manifest way, then it's better you leave us in the wilderness, let us die there. He said, because how are we going to be different from anybody else? Hear me, what makes the believer different is the anointing. Is that tangible presence with you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What makes the believer different is that manifest presence of the Holy Ghost that we call the anointing. We will have to rest, we'll have to know it, we'll have to depend upon the anointing more and more, especially in these days that we're in. Are you still there, anybody? That we need that much more than ever. And when we're saying that, and when we go much further, you see what I'm saying? We're not talking about, just people being healed and all of that. Yeah, that's why I talked about the fact that one of the characteristics is that the anointing is versatile. It shows up in many ways. But it's just a divine enablement that when you do the things you do, people are wondering and say, this, there's something different when this guy does it. Are you still there? You know, one of the guys I thought of, I'm going a little ahead of myself, you know, was some guy who does electronics. Someone introduced him, who came fix my AC in-house. And then he fixed the TV once. Then I had problems with the game console and all that, which I couldn't get fixed for so long. And I asked him, and he said, sure, he took it, he got it fixed. I mean, they are taking it to Computer Village, blah, blah, blah. And the guy said, sure. He took the thing, he fixed it. So one of the days he was walking in the house, and this guy had an obviously Islamic name. So one of the days he was walking in the house, I began to talk to him. I just sat there and I was talking to him, you know, and I mean, trying to witness to him. And then I discovered he was a believer, you know, and then he began to tell me about himself and how he got saved. He even told me how many people that he works for were Muslims. I tried to get him back when they discovered that he's a Christian, and they've offered him all kinds of things, offered him money even to say he needs to convert back, and he told them no, that he's a believer. But one of the striking things for me is that guy had an unction, another word for the anointing, for doing what he did. That's why I give you the examples that he fixed things. So he began to tell me stories, things that people condemned and all of that, and how he told them, look, let me take a look at the thing, and he'll fix it. So when he gave me examples and examples and examples, I looked at him and I said, So when he finished the work he was doing that day, I said, I have this kettle. I've taken it to the guy that fixes, you know, many other things for me. And the guy looked at it. I asked the people in my office, take it to another person. They looked at it. They brought it back. They said, that thing can never be fixed. I would have thrown it away. Somehow, I just kept it somewhere in the house. So when he spoke and spoke and spoke, I said, okay, this your talk is too much. I said, I have one thing for you. And I brought it out and I said, can you fix this? So he said, okay, let just give me a moment. I'll see. He opened the thing up. He said, just wait a minute. He went out to his car. He came back, and in 10 minutes, he fixed it. 10 minutes, he fixed it right there and then. What they had told me, forget about this thing. It can never work. The guy fixed it right there and then. You want to know the truth? I've been using it for 3 years since then. That he fixed it. He just said, once he opened it, he just looked at it and said, just wait. Let me see whether I have something in the car. You know, and he went, brought that out and put it. And said, yeah, it's working. Are you there? The anointing makes a difference. Are you still with me? And we will need that anointing. Moses said, if you will not go with us, if your presence will not go with us, do not take us out from here. Let me try to wrap it up on 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Without confusing you too much, there's a physical manifestation of God, which people tend to call the glory of God. You see it in the Old Testament when he talks about them in the wilderness and he talks of the pillar of fire, and the cloud, okay? And oftentimes people have seen a cloud, even in meetings. And that is just a stronger manifestation of the presence of God than usual. Why am I talking about that? Because whatever Moses and the rest experienced, we can experience much more. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, one of the ways that I read the Old Testament is that anything I see there, any promise I see there, I say it is plus for me. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? That if they can have it, I can have it and much more. But for them, they had I have a better covenant that is based on better promises. So if they could have this at all, I can have it as well, and I can have much more than what they had. So if I see promises in there, I claim the promises. That those promises are mine, even plus including. That is the English of Chief Zebrodiah. Even plus including the promises that they did not have. But if they had this one, it's mine also. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3. So we look from, I think, about verse 7. And it was talking about Moses, okay? So it says, if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. How? Let somebody say how. Say it again. Say how. He said, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? So, for those who may not have a background, in the Old Testament, Moses will go and meet with God in a tabernacle. And he will spend a long time. And when he will spend a long time there, and he will come back, his face will be shining because he was radiating the presence of God that he had been with. And it was shining so much that they said they had to cover the face with a veil. They had to put something to cover it because it was shining, shining, shining with the presence of God. And the Bible is saying here that if all of such manifestations of the presence of God could happen with what he called the ministry of death, which is the Old Testament, basically, he was saying how much more we that are now under the new covenant. How much more can we expect greater manifestations? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let somebody say how. You know, how do they say it now? When something happens, they say somebody did this, that. You think that person is that. You say how. Abby? He said, ah, you know, the guy came and he took your shoes. He said, how? How? It's like it's impossible. How? How? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let somebody say, how? He said, there's no way you can be ordinary. That's what he's saying. How will you be ordinary if Moses was not? How will you not carry the manifest presence of God if Moses did? Are you hearing what I'm saying? How will you not be anointed if Moses was? How? How will you not expect a divine enablement in your everyday life? How? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Moses was doing things that were not normal. He was going beyond his capacity. So how will you not do the same? How will you not be able to sit? Listen, the Bible says that Moses would sit down from morning till night and was judging all the matters of the people, millions of people. So if you talk financial matter, Moses can wade into financial matter. He can explain it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you are talking about agricultural problem, Moses could talk about it. He would listen to any issue you had. Moses had a solution to every problem. So how will you not have? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know that we need to expect the super on our natural. That means you can decide. You know, one of the things you need to do, if you look at 1 Corinthians, but I won't look at that today. If you look at 1 Corinthians, Paul was talking about the fact that I do not want your faith. He said, I didn't just speak to you with wise words of men's wisdom. He said, but I made up my mind that I was going to minister based on God's power. Why did I do it? He said, so that your faith will not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. What I like about it is the intentionality. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What I like is the intentionality. The fact that Paul said that I decided. It was something I made up my mind. He says, I decided that I will not depend on the persuasive words, but on the demonstration of spirit. That is, I will depend on the manifestation or depend on the anointing. Every believer needs to depend on the anointing now. You need to be intentional about it. You need to expect it. You need to trust God for the unction. Are you hearing what I'm saying? To do the things that you do, that you may do them well and even better than expected. Hallelujah. You need when you sit down at your job, you need to expect that I'm relying on God. This is not just me. I'm going to rely on God. Of course, it doesn't take away your efficiency. It doesn't take away your skill. But what you are saying is that beyond my skill, I'm going to do things that will astound even me. Hallelujah. I'm going to be able to solve problems that I didn't really learn how to solve. That problems come up, and nobody knows how to do it, but I'll just rely upon the anointing. I will walk conscious of the fact that I am not an ordinary person. Let me close with this. The story is told of a young man who came in a gathering, spiritual gathering, and he had his presentation, and the young man, you know, presented Psalm 23. And he sang Psalm 23 in a very nice way. Sang it with all of his heart. And an old man came up after him, grabbed the mic, and he recited Psalm 23. Very gently, very monotonously. But as the man began, after two sentences, people began to weep. People began to pray. People began to kneel before God. And afterwards, a young man went to the old man and said, how come? How come I sang so charismatically and nothing happened? But yet you came and you recited it. You were not even a very energetic person. You just recited it and the whole place, was gone before God. And the man said, you knew the psalm. I knew the shepherd. I was relying on something, on my relationship with the shepherd, and it's out of that that I was saying what I said. Are you with me? Let's expect the anointing. Let's walk in the anointing. Let's walk expecting that we are supernaturally endowed to do the things that we want to do in this day and age. Let's stand on our feet. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No temple of light thine can be suffered. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Before I sit tonight, fear, you're just fearful. Fear has been tormenting you for a while now. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. The burdens removed, the yoke destroyed. I like that word. So that fear is destroyed by the anointing. Yeah. By the anointing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's it. I just felt that go right through you now. Thank you, Lord. She's set free by the power of God. Oof. Yeah, by the power of God. Somebody's wondering about what to do next. Will you ever get out of it? It's like going around in circles. You feel like you are going round and round and round in circles. I heard the words, you will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. This is the way. This is the way. And what God is saying is clarity. 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 Thank you. Thank you for clarity, direction. Clarity of direction in the name of Jesus. Yeah. And that comes, yeah, I had peace. That comes as the peace that passes all understanding. That which is overwhelms you, takes control, seizes your heart and mind by the power of God and in the name of Jesus. Receive that peace. You will hear a voice behind you as that peace, as that peace, as that peace overwhelms and takes charge of your heart. You will hear clearly, you will hear clearly, you will hear clearly a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Thank you for clear direction. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise tonight. Father, we give you praise tonight. Father, we give you praise tonight. Just thank him. Give him praise for his word. Give him praise for his word tonight.